Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am profoundly grateful to be with you on this very beautiful 17th day of July 2021. And we're going to talk about something I rap on about now. There is no now. This whole idea of now appeals to the pedestrian mentality and their logic and reasoning. And, of course, Tolle has made millions off of it because it appeals to the rational mind of the average person who isn't going to go very deep with themselves. They go, oh, yeah, that's it, yeah. You know, they're not interested in transcendence. So I'm going to share this with you a little bit here on the radio program. And I hope that it in some way inspires some insight for you. I'm going to give you a saying that I have loved. I've had this for a long, long time. It is something that sits on my desk and reminds me constantly. It is the whole premise of there is no now, there is only the here. Now, this whole idea has to do with time. And we make time in our minds. Our mind is based in and predicated in this thing called time. And we make time out of the movement of our thoughts and our, shall we say, irrational belief that as things move in the world, that creates a pseudo sense of time. So when one day turns into another, we think that is time. It's actually a cycle, just a cycle of the earth. We have turned it into time and we've made it a matter of time so we can measure our mischief and measure what's going on in our lifetime and give it a place where our pedestrian mentality, all of our pedestrian mentalities, can put it in a certain place and categorize it and put it on a shelf inside our brain and call it truth or call it facts or call it whatever we want to call it. I don't live by the concept of time. I live by the cycle of living. And that's a very big difference. So let me read this to you. And maybe I won't. Let's go into the first question because I get this a lot. Evidently, people listen to the radio program, and when I say there's no time, then they come up with, or there is no now, they come up with this, all these totally things that I don't agree with at all. I really don't. I think that there are people in the world who try to say these kinds of things. They trip on the cord of some human thought that appeals to the logic and reasoning of a person, and they go off on that. So let me go to the question, then I'll read this little thing to you. Okay, what is the difference between now and here? And then this is from, he doesn't even want me to use his name, so I won't. I don't know why you wouldn't want me to use your name, but I'm going to call you Anonymous, okay? I'm just going to call you Anonymous. So what is the difference? Evidently, I made some comment on a radio program that I don't really remember doing, but I'm sure I did it. I've done so many in my career. Anyway, so the difference. The now leads a person to believe that you can stop time or that there is a pause in time. Try to find this now right here. By the time your mind clicks into whatever you think of as now, it's now become something else and something else and something else. Let me read this to you. This is from the Talmud, and it's very, very true. what that life were like the shadow cast by a wall or a tree, but it is like the shadow of a bird in flight. Imagine a bird whisking by a wall, and there is no pause in it. There is no now in it. The whole thing, you could say, is the now. The whole thing is. But you really can't look at it from the idea of time. To me, that is what is here. And what is here only for brief moments. And I'm using really bad language here and very confusing, I'm afraid, because there is, and you'll hopefully now know why I say at the end of every radio program, please forgive me. There is no language for this. Let me read that again. Would that life were like the shadow cast by a wall or a tree, but it is like the shadow of a bird in flight. Life is moving constantly. You can't slow it down. Not in the physical. And when you're meditative, when you can sit in meditation, you can take in the whole of that flight. It becomes the totality. When the mind is getting into its finite places and it does not meditate, then what we are looking at there is something that we can cling to as a thought. Life is not a thought. Life is not subject to thought. Life is a totality and a movement in totality. And the small mind wants to make it something it can capture and hold on to. There is an old Sufi story that I really hate. I really have a hard time with it, but it's so pungent and so true, about the king who caught this rare bird and looked at it, and it had a strange bill and everything and didn't look normal, and he had his surgeons remove the bill and make it look normal, and of course that killed the bird. And that's the way I can't get into the details of it, but that's the gist of the story. It just bothers me so much, but it's true. It's, you know, factual right down to the core. This is the way we are. We take something that's alive and we kill it in order to understand it or try to make it normal. And that's what we've done with meditation. That's what we've done with metaphysics. That's what we've done with the way we try to bring it down to our level, our core level of thinking. And we make that a very difficult thing for us to do, to try to understand. If you're going to understand something, you have to break it down, if you're going to use the human mind, into the segments that it can grasp intellectually. But when you're meditative, it is like a bird in flight. You take in the whole of it. Your mind is a different kind of mind. It is not a clinging mind, a holding mind. It's a penetrating mind, a mind that is not limited by thoughts, not trying to categorize things. It is the flight of the totality. And in that totality, there is no need for thought. When you drop your mind, when you and I are no longer in mind and you're in meditation and you practice meditation, you will find thoughts are obsolete. When you realize for the first time in your life that your thoughts are obsolete, that you no longer need your thoughts to live, you have found a great wisdom inside you. A penetrating wisdom, a wisdom that goes beyond the confines of right and wrong and good and bad. You start to really look at your life from the point of view, not of a thing. Life is not a thing. It is not an object that you can put things into, take things out of. It's a matter of totality. And when you say the now, you've removed that totality to a shadow that you can look at on the wall. But it isn't. If you notice, everything's in flight. Everything's in a constant movement, a constant flow, as it were. So there is no now. And nobody calls Tolle on this because they don't. And I don't really care to. It's not my deal. But I want to expose you, Mr. Anonymous, to something bigger than just philosophical BS. When you are a meditator, when you truly do meditate, you see the flight of living. And you never berate it or bring it down to a place where it is only a matter of thought. The things that are most important in this life cannot be thought, they cannot be taught. They have to be caught. And when you catch them in meditation, as it were, you become a part of the flow. And that makes a huge difference in people's lives. I hope that helps you, Mr. Anonymous, and I hope I did that well enough to get you to think from another point of view and then drop your thinking. I want to help you all think a little bit in another way, to point your process another way, and then I want you to drop your thinking. All that thinking does is just make things impossible and difficult. So you really want to just drop it and let it go. You get that? Oh, it's just so hard to explain when your meditation is about being in what I call the ethers. And in those ethers, there's no need to generate any kind of conclusion. All conclusions are about arguments. And all arguments are about ignorance, in my opinion. And that's just the way it works. I hope that helped. Oh, Gregory, please forgive me. Namaste. There are some things I probably just shouldn't really talk about. Okay, the next one comes from Mike in Las Vegas, Nevada. He says, how should I fill my life? What should I do? Well, Mike, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I don't know what your intent is. I'd have to sit down and really, you know, get into you a little bit. I'd have to understand where you came from, what lifetimes you've come from. I'd have to sit down with you. I'm not a person that can do that over the radio or over the internet in any way, shape, or form, for sure. I would have to sit with you very quietly. I'd have to just listen to you. I'd have to hear the way you process yourself as a thought, as a man, as a thing. I would have to hear all of that. When I do session work, that's what I do. I'd have to hear and listen to what's important to you, why you're even asking such a question. That's a big one. Just why is that all happening? So I would have to know a little bit more about you in order to do that. So I can't really say, but how should you fill your life? Well, there are two ways to live in this world. You can live in your mischief, and if you live in it a lot, you need to live in it in totality. I mean, you need to eat, drink, and be merry till you can't stand up and do all of the stuff that you want to do to wear you out, as Lao Tzu said, to become new. So until you're totally convinced that you can't go on the way you are, until that moment happens where you're totally convinced of that, then really nothing can happen. Then the other thing is, once that has happened, then you know what you should do. You you don't fill your life, you empty it, and you let go of many, many things that you used as an emotional crutch in the form of your living, and you go further beyond the beyond until you are so empty there is nothing. And by empty, I mean it's in your head. It's not living by impulse. It's not living by desire, ambition, pride, vanity. It is about not holding to anything, just letting this whole thing rip and open up inside you. When you do things like that, the immensity, this is what I call it, the immensity happens within you. This immensity is a tremendous blessing. It's the immensity of life that cannot be understood through the pedestrian mentality. It just can't be done. It's a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of beauty. It's a matter of insight. It's a matter of love. So, there you are. That's what it is, and I hope that helps you, and I hope the question is answered for you, and please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, we're running out of time. We have our radio thing has been shortened by 5 minutes, so I have to do this. It's just new rules, so here we are. What should I do with my life? This is from Claire in Chicago. Again, I'm not here to tell people what they should do with their lives. That's not something I can ever do. I'm not here as that. What I do is I share with you really bits and pieces of my own experience. You have to decide inside yourself where you want to go, what you want to do with your life, and how you want it all to turn out. How do you want this, Claire, to turn out? At the end of the day, the end of your life, how do you want to look at everything? What was your life all about? What were you doing in this world? Those are the things that you have to decide on a daily basis and moment to moment to moment, these fleeting moments that are not here and now. They're more than here. They're over there. They're huge. And you can't look at it in segments of thought. If you look at it in its totality, that would be something different and you could understand it even more. I would look at everything from the totality of my life. And I would not allow myself to listen or to think from the concept of right and wrong, good and bad. If you just do that, if you can just let go of right and wrong, good and bad, and work from intuition rather than human impulse, emotional impulse, then you would find something gigantic happening, something huge. You would find in the smallest thing, the most minuscule thing in your life, you would find it to be magnificent. And you would realize the consciousness that is derived out of living from something that perpetuates nothing but beauty and loving kindness. So in my estimation, dear one, the thing to do, what should you do with your life? Let it live through you. Let love live through you. Because life is love. And if you live in life as love and let it live through you, then wonderful things begin to happen. Beautiful things begin to happen. Insight begins to happen. Kindness begins to happen. And you start realizing what it's really all about. You will see that you don't have to deteriorate to find the meaning and the substance of your life. You can accelerate compassion and love and change everything about your life. I'm out of here. I hope that helps, sweetheart. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the air tomorrow in our new format, which I forgot to tell you in the beginning of the program, but it's no big deal. This is, we're losing 5 minutes. It's a long story. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I hope that you enjoy the program. Listen carefully. please forgive me, eh? Namaste.